This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. We got to enjoy this little warm-up for the 2 days it's going to last.
Man, 25 degrees really seems warm, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And tomorrow we could get to 40.
Yeah, man. It's just, it's amazing how, you know, the reality of sub-zero weather makes 25 degrees seem like it's 50. You know, I came out today. I didn't need gloves. You know, put the big heavy coat away, if only for a day. But, you know, I want to say, please help the victims of the devastating fires in California. You will find an easy way to donate to Convoy of Hope at our website, civicmedia.us, and thank you. You know, got a very special show lined up for you today. You know, I often tell people, you know, well, I'm 70 years old. And so I've lived a very, at a time, where as a young boy, I could say that who I am and how I perceive our nation was shaped at a very young age, 10 years old, you know, 9, 10 years old, because I live during the civil rights struggles of the 60s, very, very much aware of things that probably I, you know, wouldn't have been aware of had it not been the time that I was born in and all of the things around me that impacted my life even to this day. And so yesterday would have been Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's 96th birthday. I know, you know, many people may not know that, and it may not, you know, matter. But I have to say to you that very few people, and all the people that have ever lived, and man, just the sheer throngs of people who have lived on this earth and walked on this earth, there's only a handful of them who will be remembered forever. Only a handful. And in all the people who've done all the great things that have been done for humanity in this world, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King is one of those who will be remembered in perpetuity. He'll be remembered forever. And I know that, you know, that may not, you know, people may not see that because maybe they didn't get a chance to see him. Maybe they didn't get a chance to hear him. And maybe they didn't get a chance to understand the impact of what he had on a society. And the fact that he was, you know, able to shape and challenge our nation at a time when our nation was really, I mean, just incredibly wrong. And so Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, not by himself, because no man is an island, no man stands alone, but he was the wick to light the candle. He was the wick to start the TNT. And at such a tender, tender age, you know, Dr. King was murdered at the age of 39. And so, again, I'm 70. 31 years ago, I was 39. And where my life has turned and gone in that 31 years from when I was 39 is amazing. I have been given an opportunity to live and drink in life and to weigh it and measure it and understand the complexities of it, because I've been given 70. Dr. King lost his life at 39. So I'm saying those things because he was evolving. The Dr. King of I Have a Dream and the Dr. King at 39 who spoke about the three evils of the society in 1967, a speech that we are going to hear in its entirety in a few minutes, was a completely different person. He was evolving. And so that speech, the three evils of the society, many of you have never heard. There's so many different speeches. I would say to you, you know, if you enjoyed I Have a Dream, you should Google Dr. King's speeches, and they are monumental, and they dwarf I Have a Dream. But many of those speeches, many will say, basically led to his assassination, because he challenged the moral compass of our nation at a time when our nation clearly didn't have one. And so he knew in the face of those things what the outcome eventually was going to be, and that was going to be the loss of his life. So let me do a little, read a couple paragraphs, and then, Calvin, we're going to get into Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's The Three Evils of the Society. And then we'll have some conversation in between. And this music that I'm going to be playing today is all music from that civil rights era. Even Marvin Gaye's, the tune that we play every morning before I go in to the show, it's from that era. That's when these things were occurring. And so the messages that were in the music were very impactful then as they are today. So in the nearly 40 years that the United States has celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it's amazing to me that it's been 40 years. I remember when it first became a national holiday. The national holiday has never coincided with the inauguration of a non-incumbent president. That changes this year. Let me repeat that. In the nearly 40 years that the United States has celebrated Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day, the national holiday has never coincided with the inauguration of a non-incumbent president. So what that says is that Martin Luther King Day falls on the same day of Donald Trump's inauguration. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is celebrated annually on the third Monday in January, to mark the late activist's birthday. In 2025, the holiday falls on January 20th, the same day typically set aside for Inauguration Day every 4 years. Indeed, January 20th is also when Donald Trump will be sworn in as president. Nation in 1968, a campaign for a holiday in his honor began. U.S. Representative John Conyers Jr. of Michigan first proposed a bill on April 8, 1968, but the first vote on the legislation didn't happen until 1979. King's widow, Coretta Scott King, led the lobbying effort to drum up public support. 15 years after its introduction, the bill finally became law. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan's signature created Martin Luther King Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day of service as a federal holiday, the only national day of service in this nation. Martin Luther King Jr. Day was first celebrated in 1986. The first time all 50 states recognized a holiday was 2000. Had he lived, King would have turned 96 years old. And, you know, as I was, you know, thinking about this yesterday, that he would have turned 96, I could never even envision him being anything other than 39, because that's the way I will always remember him and always. You know, he'll never turn. He'll never age. He's frozen in the annals of history because his life was taken away at the age of 39. But, you know, we're going to get into some really, and I'll ask you to listen intently to the words of what Dr. King is saying. They're as relevant today as they were in 1968, when he, you know, first gave this speech, The Three Evils of the Society. You're tuned in to, you know, Thursday. Dr. Omar will be returning with us next Thursday from his well-deserved vacation. But up next, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the Three Evils of the Society on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where the man gone? He feed a lot of people, but it seems a good died young. I turned my head one day and the man was gone. Lord, he was gone. Didn't you love the things they stood by? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? And we'll be free someday soon. It's gonna be one day. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Ooh, can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. 'Cause I turned around one day and the man was gone.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, we're getting ready to play one of the great speeches of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, The Three Evils of the Society. Calvin, if you'd be so kind.
Friends and brothers in this first gathering of the National Conference on New Politics, ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me in the back? I don't know if the Klan is in here tonight or not, with all the trouble we're having with these microphones. And seldom, if ever, we're still working with it. As I was about to say, seldom, if ever, has such a diverse and a truly ecumenical gathering convened under the aegis of politics in our nation. And I want to commend the leadership of the National Conference on New Politics for all of the great work that they have done in making this significant convention possible. Indeed, by our very nature, we affirm that something new is taking place on the American political horizon. We have come here from the dusty plantations of the Deep South and the depressing ghettos of the North. We have come from the great universities and the flourishing suburbs. We have come from Appalachian poverty and from conscience-stricken wealth. But we have come. And we have come here because we shared a common concern for the moral health of our nation. We have come because our eyes have seen through the superficial glory and glitter of our society and observed the coming of judgment. Like the prophet of old, we have read the handwriting on the wall. We have seen our nation weighed in the balance of history and found wanting. We have come because we see this as a dark hour in the affairs of men. For most of us, this is a new mood. We are traditionally the idealists. We are the marchers from Mississippi and Selma in Washington, who staked our lives on the American dream during the first half of this decade. Many assembled here campaigned assiduously for Lyndon Johnson in 1964 because we could not stand idly by and watch our nation contaminated by the 18th century policies of Goldwaterism. We were the hardcore activists who were willing to believe.
All right, we're going to continue this on the other side. If you're just joining us, this is a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. You know, Dr. King's holiday, is this Monday, and people will be celebrating it, and his birthday would have been 96, was yesterday. So stay with us. We'll continue this Three Evils of the Society on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You know, I'm playing a great speech, for one of the great speeches from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King back in 1967. It's called The Three Evils of the Society. We're going to listen, and then we're going to have some conversation and dialogue after the speech. Calvin, if you please.
Policies of Goldwaterism. We were the hardcore activists who were willing to believe that Southerners could be reconstructed in the constitutional image. We were the dreamers of a dream. That dark yesterdays of man's inhumanity to man would soon be transformed into bright tomorrows of justice. Now it is hard to escape the disillusionment of betrayal. Our hopes have been blasted and our dreams have been shattered. The promise of a great society was shipwrecked off the coast of Asia on the dreadful peninsula of Vietnam. The poor black and white. The poor black and white are still perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. What happens to a dream deferred? It leads to bewildering frustration and corroding bitterness. I came to see this in a personal experience here in Chicago last summer. And all the speaking that I have done in the United States before varied audiences, including some hostile whites, the only time that I have ever been booed was one night in our regular weekly mass meeting by some angry young men of our movement. I went home that night with an ugly feeling. Selfishly, I thought of my sufferings and sacrifices over the last 12 years. Why would they boo one so close to them? But as I lay awake thinking, I finally came to myself, and I could not for the life of me have less in patience and understanding for those young men. For 12 years, I and others like me had held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. This situation is all the more ominous in view of the rising expectations of men the world over. The deep rumblings that we hear today.
If you are just joining us, this is a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It is, Monday is Dr. King's holiday. Yesterday was his 96th birthday. And so I wanted to honor him and play one of his great speeches, and that this arguably is one of the greatest three evils of the society in 1967. Calvin, if you please.
Things that we hear today, the rumbling of discontent, is the thunder of disinherited masses rising from dungeons of oppression to the bright hills of freedom. All over the world, like a fever, freedom is spreading in the widest liberation movement in history. The great masses of people are determined to end the exploitation of their races and lands. And in one majestic chorus, they are singing in the words of our freedom song, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn us around." And so the collision course is set. The people cry for freedom, and the Congress attempts to legislate repression. Millions, yes, billions, are appropriated for mass murder, but the most meager pittance of foreign aid for international development is crushed in the surge of reaction. Unemployment rages at a major depression level in the black ghettos, but the bipartisan response is an anti-riot bill rather than a serious poverty program. And The modest proposals for model cities, rent supplement, and rat control, pitiful as they were to begin with, get caught in the maze of congressional inaction. And I submit to you tonight that a Congress that proves to be more anti-Negro than anti-rat needs to be dismissed. It seems that our legislative assemblies have adopted Nero as their patron saint and are bent on fiddling while our cities burn. Even when the people persist and in the face of great obstacles develop indigenous leadership and self-help approaches to their problems, and finally tread the forest of bureaucracy to obtain existing government funds, the corrupt political order seeks to crush even this beginning of hope. The case of CDGM in Mississippi is the most publicized example, but it is a story repeated many times across our nation. Our own experience here in Chicago is especially painfully present. After an enthusiastic approval by HEW's Department of Adult Education, SCLC began an adult literacy project to aid 1,000 young men and women who have been pushed out of overcrowded ghetto schools in obtaining basically literacy skills prerequisite to receiving jobs. We had an agreement with A&P stores for 750 jobs through SCLC's job program, Operation Breadbasket, and had recruited over 500 pupils the first week. At that point, Congressman Kuczynski and the Daily Machine intervened and demanded that Washington cut off our funds or channel them through the machine control poverty program in Chicago. Now we have no problem with administrative supervision, but we do have a desire to be independent of machine control and the Democratic Party patronage network. For this desire for a politically independent approach to the needs of our brothers, our funds are being stopped as of September 15th, and a very meaningful program discontinued. Yes, the hour is dark. Evil comes forth in the guise of good. It is a time of double talk, when men in high places have a high blood pressure of deceptive rhetoric and an anemia of concrete performance. We crowd against welfare handouts to the poor, but generously approve an oil depletion allowance to make the rich richer. Six Mississippi plantations receive more than $1 million a year not to plant cotton, but no provision is made to feed the tenant farmer who is put out of work by the government subsidy. Crowning achievement in hypocrisy must go to those staunch Republicans and Democrats of the Midwest and West who were given land by our government when they came here as immigrants from Europe. They were given education through the land-grant colleges. They were provided with agricultural agents to keep them abreast of farming trends. They were granted low-interest loans to aid in the mechanization of their farms. And now that they have succeeded in becoming successful, they are paid not to farm. And these are the same people who now say to black people whose ancestors were brought to this country in chains and who were emancipated in 1863 without being given land to cultivate or bread to eat, that they must pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
If you're just joining us, it's, you know, yesterday was Dr. King's birthday. He would have been 96 years of age. Monday is the Dr. King holiday. And, you know, Dr. King was more than just some person to me. He impacted my life, from the time I was a young boy, 9, 10 years old. And so he lives in me. And so he means a lot to me. And I wanted to, you know, play, you know, this three evils of the society. We're going to talk about, you know, the speech after, you know, we complete it. So hang in there. We're going to continue this conversation, 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Yesterday was Dr. King's birthday. Reverend Dr. King's birthday would have been 96 years old. Monday is his holiday. And so I wanted to, you know, play a speech, one of his great speeches, The Three Evils of the Society. I hope that you'll hang in there with us in the second half of the show. We will have some conversation and dialogue about where we are and the impact that this man had. Calvin, if you please.
What they truly advocate is socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor. I wish that I could say that this is just a passing phase in the cycle of our nation's life. Certainly times of war, times of reaction throughout the society. But I suspect that we are now experiencing the coming to the surface of a triple-pronged sickness that has been lurking within our body politic from its very beginning. That is the sickness of racism, excessive materialism, and militarism. Not only is this our nation's dilemma, it is the plague of Western civilization. As early as 1906, W.E.B. Du Bois prophesied that the problem of the 20th century will be the problem of the color line. Now, as we stand two-thirds into this crucial period of history, we know full well that racism is still that hound of hell which dogs the tracks of our civilization. Ever since the birth of our nation, white America has had a schizophrenic personality on the question of race. She has been torn between selves, a self in which she proudly professed the great principles of democracy, and a self in which she madly practiced the antithesis of democracy. This tragic duality has produced a strange indecisiveness and ambivalence toward the Negro, causing America to take a step backward simultaneously with every step forward on the question of racial justice. To be at once attracted to the Negro and repelled by him, to love and to hate him. And there has never been a solid, unified, and determined thrust to make justice a reality for Afro-Americans. The step backward has a new name today. It is called the white backlash. But the white backlash is nothing new. It is the surfacing of old prejudices, hostilities, and ambivalences that have always been there.
All right. The three evils of the society. And, you know, Dr. King spoke of racism, materialism, and militarism. And those things, this is, again, this speech is from 1967. As we move on with it, you will find how eerily connected to today's society that this speech was. Again, 58 years ago, Dr. King spake these words. And he spake these words in front of a mixed group of people. Dr. King didn't just speak to black people. He spoke to the overall society. And there were many whites who agreed totally with Dr. King, because he didn't just speak for the pain of black people. He spoke for the pain of poor whites, poor indigenous people, all of them. We're going to delve deeper into this great speech and then have some back and forth dialogue as we continue on the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.